Many of Hawaii's students have been taking a lot of standardized tests lately, making some teachers chafe at teaching time lost and others glad for what the tests measure. Senior Fellow and Vice President for External Affairs at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, Robert Pondicio, stands with the latter group. He says Hawaii is right to hold on to standardized testing. Today we continue our look at where Hawaii's education system goes from here under the Every Student Succeeds Act. And Robert Pondicio joins us now by phone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We've talked a lot for many years about standardized tests, and some of the big issues that teachers have are just what we talked about in the opening, that it takes a lot of time away from what would be instructional time, and that also you're really only measuring a couple of different areas, reading and math, where there's so much else that could be and in some minds should be measured. How do you answer them when they say we focus too much just on reading and math and that doesn't really give you a true assessment of a child's progress?
Yeah, that's a really complicated question that would almost literally take hours to unwind. The short answer is I'm less concerned than I think if we look carefully. Most parents are even less concerned with the amount of time spent with kids in front of a test. I think the greater concern is the effects of testing on schooling. In other words, is the testing tail wagging the schooling dog, so to speak? And I think that's a legitimate concern. Where I would push back slightly is if you say that a reading test it really focuses too much attention on reading. On the one hand, I would agree with you because I think that's what's happened in our schools. But I would argue that if you really have a clear understanding of what reading is, you would know that the best way to boost reading scores is not by focusing on the skill, and I'm making air quotes, the skill of reading, but really ensuring that kids have a well-rounded education in history and science and art and music. It's a bit of a paradox, but reading is not a skill like throwing a ball or riding a bike that you can practice in the abstract. It's really, every reading test is sort of a de facto test of background knowledge and vocabulary. So if the impulse that teachers and schools have is to focus on reading as a skill or as an academic subject, so to speak, paradoxically, they may be doing more harm than good.
But a lot of teachers are saying that, you know, they feel somewhat beholden to teach what is necessary so the child can do well on the test, particularly if there's going to be some measurement of how well the teacher is doing.
No, I agree. And on the one hand, I'm not a testing opponent, but neither am I a testing or accountability hawk. I think it's a reasonable thing to suggest that in a publicly financed system, you need to have some guarantee that our education dollars are being spent wisely. And as a parent, I want to know that my child's doing well in school and whatnot. So I resist the impulse, to, as some have suggested, that which is to say we're testing too much. But you know, I really think it's about getting our relationship with testing right. Right. And yeah, I'm probably a little bit more open than a lot of other people in the so-called ed reform world to saying maybe it's time to think about uncoupling testing results from teacher evaluation. In other words, I want to see any good accountability system, I would argue, should incentivize the behaviors that we want. And I think what we want is for kids, especially elementary school kids, to get a rich, well-rounded education. Common Core, in theory, is supposed to do that. That's one of the reasons that I'm a supporter of it. However, your point is a good one, that's not necessarily how it's manifesting itself in our classrooms.
When you talk about getting the relationship right, and you began to speak a bit about that just now, what else has to happen besides just uncoupling teachers from the testing?
Yeah, well, I alluded to it earlier. I've written a lot, as others have as well, about the nature of reading comprehension. So it sounds counterintuitive if you say, you know, job one is to raise reading achievement. Everybody would want that. The problem is that the elementary education, secondary education, has broadly misinterpreted that as spend more time on reading, which, as I alluded to before, tends to make things worse, not better. The way to improve reading is by ensuring that kids have a rich, well-rounded education and not cut and take time away from things like science and art and music and whatnot. Reading is really a reflection of your broad general education. I think that's how we got into the business of testing it. But we have, in narrowing our focus to reading, we have also, alas, narrowed the curriculum to reading, and that can very easily do more harm than good.
Right. Too much of a focus on the mechanics itself and not realizing that because it moves through all of education, you're obviously reading when you're learning about science or when you're talking about social studies.
No, that's exactly right. And then a reading test, I've said for years, it's a de facto test of background knowledge. I used to teach in the South Bronx of New York City, and I would see this when my kids had reading test passages about subjects they knew about, they tended to do well. If they had a reading passage about something more academic, since we were doing exactly what I was complaining about, taking away time from history and science, so if they had a nonfiction passage about, say, New York State history, they tended not to do very well on that. It wasn't their fault. They didn't suddenly become bad readers. They were just reading out of their depth.
Question for you about this whole idea of moving through whole child development, which we've seen, you know, resurge at different mm-hmm. times over the last 20, 30 years in particular. But now it seems like we've moved back into that again under the ESSA. And your point is that, you know, that's pretty good, but you're still going to have to test to it. What's that ratio? What's the balance of really teaching to the whole child and also making sure that what you're teaching is something that's measurable under a standardized test?
Yeah, you know, I will confess that when I hear phrases like teaching the whole child, it tends to make alarm bells ring, not because I'm hard-hearted and don't think that that's important, but too often that's code for, oh, well, we're not worried about a child's academics because they have all these other things that we have to be concerned about first. So that can very, very quickly become one of those slippery slopes. I'm at the risk of oversimplifying. I'd like to see schools do well what they're supposed to do well at, which is to attend to a kid's academic performance. Again, not to be dismissive of those other things, but let's not use those as a barrier to making sure that kids are well educated. The other issue that you raise is a trickier one. I'm not a psychometrician, but I'm not sure that we really have good measurements of things like social and emotional well-being, for example. Same thing with the so-called non-cognitive skills. Everybody knows that they matter, and we know how to measure them. What we don't seem to know as much is how to improve or enhance them.
And that said, looking at how that fits within the academic setting, in fact, is that even, you know, entirely appropriate there? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about what teachers are expected to do and how
right.
much we want from our teachers, and obviously to be concerned about a child's full development, but to focus more on all of the academics, which are not just broken out into those, you know, two columns of reading and math.
Yeah, it's a tricky and sometimes sensitive conversation. I mean, it's obvious that if a child is not, well-fed and feels welcome and accepted in school, then that's a barrier to learning. On the other hand, there are some parents who will quickly say, hey, look, that's not your concern. I'm concerned with my child's well-being. Your job is to teach him, math and reading and science and whatnot.
With the way you see things developing now that we're having yet another shift under the ESSA, what do you think we really need to be looking at substantially for being able to test well, being able to see that our kids can go out there and compete well, not just among their peers within our nation, but to be able to effectively manage new jobs and be able to work in a global and very
yeah.
often cooperative situation?
Yeah, I'm an unabashed local control guy. I think that's the way our system works. That's the system we have. It's not going to change constitutionally. It's, under the enumerated powers, education is always going to be a local issue. But that's a blessing and a curse. And what I mean by that is it places the onus on Hawaii and 49 other states and other territories to be really, really good at this. And the larger problem that we have, and it's kind of hard to say this without sounding like I'm bashing teachers and schools, and I'm not. We have, generally speaking, a capacity issue in American K-12 education. One of the effects, I think, of the move to raise standards, it will be that it will reveal a lot of about our school systems. For historically, at least since the No Child Left Behind era, state tests have tended to set a very low bar for proficiency, and this can create kind of a proficiency illusion where you get a good report back on state tests about how your child is doing, and it's not until they get into college or the workplace that you find out that they really didn't have all their needs met in K-12. So whether you support or do not support Common Core and the associated tests, the one thing that I think is unambiguously good about them is it sets a much more rigorous and, I would argue, real-world definition of what proficiency means. On the one hand, that leads to some harsh medicine, so to speak, or some unpleasant news when you find out that the child that you thought was doing well is not doing as well as you'd hoped. But on the other hand, if we don't start from that baseline of clear-eyed data, then it's very hard to improve from there.
And you're really arguing a case for having a very realistic view of what's happening and truly understanding how well that is being reflected in, for example, how the U.S. is ranked globally in terms of its education system and
yes.
where we have fallen over many, many years. Thank you so much for joining us. I do wish we had more time to talk.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Robert Pondizio is Senior Fellow and Vice President for External Affairs at the Thomas B. Fordham Institute. He's also a senior advisor to Democracy Prep Public Schools, a network of high-performing charter schools based in Harlem, New York. He writes and speaks extensively on education and education reform issues.